listening to eBay Radio, where you can share a tip, mend your ways, and take your listings to a brand new phase. Here's your host, Griff.
It's you.
Well, it's me.
Yes.
I'm sorry. We're so we're in discussion here, and I got taken away. This segment is brought to you by WorthPoint, the ultimate tool to value your antiques and collectibles. We know that you want to be the very best seller you can, and that's why we're going to talk about the seller standards part of the seller update that was announced today. And as soon as Christy Deimos is with us, we will bring her online. We've got Brian with us now. Brian Burke, and a question just came up in the chat board, and I think we need to address this, and that's one we're also seeing on the discussion forum for the seller update, and that's the question about transaction cancellations. How does that work?
Today, as you know, our sellers know, the seller has to cancel the transaction, and so, you know, a common use case might be a buyer purchases an item, and they, you know, decide very quickly, okay, you know, maybe that's, actually, you know, there's a couple ways. I'll give two examples, so one a good one and one a not so good one. So let's say the seller decides, or the buyer says, I no longer want the item. So now the seller can cancel that that person. That's fine. The buyer hasn't paid for it. But the seller needs to make sure that they go through the flow on our platform and say the buyer no longer wanted this item. And you know, I think it's the very first reason code through the unpaid item, canceled transaction flow. Sellers should do that. Let's say the buyer paid for the item. And then the and we'll use your stockout example. The seller then says, oh, I don't have the inventory.
I looked all over for that shirt. I can't find it.
So now the seller, you know, today may just refund the buyer. In that case, if the seller just refunds the buyer, we're going to look at that and we're going to say, you know, that's actually not a good experience. And that's actually not the kind of experience we want driven. So that should actually count against a seller.
Great. We have Christine on now.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for joining us. Joining us now with our conversation with Brian Burke about the seller standards, the new seller standards, is Christine Deimos. And Christine is the senior manager for seller experience. She's located with our good friends out in Salt Lake, and she's joining us by phone. Welcome, Christine.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad you could join the discussion right when we're talking about a question that came up in the chat board, and that's clarifying what is meant by transaction cancellations and how that works. And Brian was just discussing it with us. So, Brian, if you continue.
Yeah, I'll just finish. So in the use case, you know, where it's a stock out, the seller needs to, or should... You know, that's something we would count against the seller. In the case where it's a buyer who's paid for the item, and then let's say 30 minutes later says, you know what, maybe I don't want that item, and they pick up the phone or they email the seller and say you can cancel it, the seller just needs to go through and make sure that they're using the canceled transaction form and picking the appropriate reason for cancellation.
Which is the seller, buyer's changed mind, I think, is something.
Correct.
Like
and I think one of the things that, and Christy can speak to this as well, we were on a number of calls with some sellers in the past couple weeks, and you know, some of the sellers basically said, look, I just refund the money. I haven't actually been using your system. And so it's important for them to use the system so that we get the signal.
Right. And that's to cover cases where it was a buyer-initiated cancellation. Which, if without that information, we're just going to assume that it was a stock out or a similar type of situation and then count it as a defect.
Correct.
So it's important to use that. Are we concerned at all, Christine, that, or Christine, should I call you Christy, right?
Yeah, either or. They're both me, so no worries either way.
Christy, are we concerned at all that sellers might find a way to use this in this particular case to kind of quote unquote game the system by making I'm out of stock. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel the transaction and I'm going to say buyer changed mind. What would happen in that case?
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's a definite concern, you know, that everyone won't use the site flows as intended. So a couple things on that, you know, obviously on the back end we'll monitor, you know, that the behavior on that flow and try to ensure that abuse isn't happening. And then also what happens is today when a seller goes through the cancel transaction flow and they select the right reason and the buyer accepts, then obviously the order's canceled, the buyer gets a refund, the seller gets their fees back and kind of cancels everything out. So what we know also happens is that if a buyer does not accept, then the situation will essentially time out, and the refunds will go through, but the fees won't be credited. And so if the buyer receives, you know, notification that they had asked for or something, they might not accept, and so the seller might not get their fees back. So that's why, kind of what Brian mentioned, we really strongly encourage everyone to just be forthcoming, you know, and be just choose the right reason for the cancellation and work with their customer. Because the other thing is, with the way that the thresholds are set, you know, at 2% for top rated and at 5% to meet the minimum requirement, we know that the occasional stock out could happen, or the occasional thing could happen. And that's why we just, you know, recommend that sellers be forthcoming and take care of their customers in that way. And then they should be fine, as long as they're, you know, managing their inventory and whatnot.
So, Christy, that's a great point, because even though I had this one stock out, which basically was a shirt gone missing, it's not, in the scheme of things, it did not put me in jeopardy at all, taking care of everything else. So it's important to mention that. I think what people would be worried about is if they had a series of these. And like I said, this may be a good time to take stock of your inventory, make sure that you have everything that's listed, and be extra careful if you're somebody who uses SKUs and has different products, that your quantities are matching up, especially for those sellers who sell multi-channel. I know there are tools out there that developers and different companies make to help manage that, and the software issues like that. I think it's great. But in the end, it really comes down to being the seller who's responsible. Make sure you're diligent about the inventory that you have. And I assume, Brian, this also covers, for example, say I sold a figurine, which I don't. But say I, because I smashed them with hammers, but say I did have a figurine.
Poor figurine.
It's not a Hummel. And in packing, I drop it. Now I have to cancel the transaction. And that's a defect.
It is. And I think, you know, that goes to why there's a threshold. And yeah. And so, you know, those things will happen. If it's happening,
a lot.
You know, 5% or 10% of the time,
yeah.
You know, probably need to change how you're handling your item.
You may want to see a doctor.
Yeah.
You might. No, I'm serious. I mean, you might have a neurological problem.
But I'm not joking,
by the way.
Possibly, you know.
I think I have it.
Okay.
That's why I don't sell figurines. When I drop a shirt, it doesn't break.
Ah.
Yeah. It's true.
Yep, definitely.
So, Christine, can I read you a question on our chat board?
Of course, I love it.
This one is from eShirt Deals, and it says, I sell clothing. What happens when somebody returns an item that doesn't fit? I have measurements in my listing and in my item specifics. If it doesn't fit, is it because the buyer did not really check to see if it would. Will I get, and there's that word, dinged, or a defect under the policy against my account?
Great question. That's a great question. So like a lot of things at eBay, the answer is a little bit of it depends. And so this is actually one of the good reasons to use the hassle return flow, is that if the buyer, you know, comes in and does a return through hassle returns, as long as it's for a not as described reason, that wouldn't count as a defect. And so for sellers who do CSA, clothing, shoes, and accessories, and other items, the hassle-free returns can actually be a great resource to allow for those returns to come in and manage them and ensure that they don't count. However, if the seller, for example, had to open a case with the buyer and say, and they opened a not as described case and they wrote in there, the item doesn't fit me, I want to return it, that actually would be counted as a defect. And so again, that's why there's such a benefit to using hassle-free returns, because it gives the buyers a clear path to returning an item when it doesn't work for them.
So if they're not using this, or they get it and they're in a panic and they go to open a case and they say it's because it doesn't fit, if that case is then ruled in favor of the seller, would that count as a defect?
That is a great question. Yeah, so if a case is open and the buyer says, this item just doesn't fit me, and the seller escalates and the case is found in favor of the seller, then no, we would not count that as a defect. So that is always an option for the seller, is that they can escalate the case to eBay customer support and have the case reviewed. However, the one thing I always tell sellers in this situation is to remember that the threshold for top rated and meeting the minimum requirement is 2% and 5%. and the threshold for having a case that is quote-unquote closed without resolution is 0.3%. So it's a significantly tighter threshold. So yet again, we think that the threshold of 2% and 5% allow for the occasional return that maybe was a buyer issue. So we really recommend that sellers still continue to take care of their customers when they can, and then know that when it is something that truly, you know, the buyer's fault, that they do have the opportunity to escalate to customer support, but just while always keeping in mind that that threshold is quite a bit tighter than the other two for the regular defect rate.
So, Brian, the real call to action here to help prevent this situation from occurring is to be opted into what we called managed returns, what's now called hassle-free returns. Because that does, I worked on that project, I use it as a seller, that has a real clear path for a buyer who says an item doesn't fit. So in that situation, when they select, if they go to returns and they select item doesn't fit, then that's not a defect.
That's correct. And I think the important thing there is it was designed in a way to meet the vast majority of the seller's needs on our platform. So, you know, personally, I would love to see every seller adopt it. I understand that not all sellers, you know, it'll meet their business needs.
I don't understand that, but that's okay. I can't think of a case where it wouldn't work.
You and I are very much aligned. Right.
And has someone who's actually used it as a buyer and who's used it as a seller for all my returns now. I love how, as I said, I'm a big proponent of it. It's not just because I help build it, but I really think it helps.
It's much easier for the buyer.
Yeah,
they get
easier.
A label printed.
Let's look for some more questions here. We have a station break.
We're going to take calls now.
We're going to take calls as well. So you may have a question that you can call in. This segment was brought to you by Worth Point, the ultimate tool to clear your antiques and collectibles. Up next, your calls, 888-723-4630. That's 888-723-4630. We'll be right back with your calls here on eBay Radio.
Want to increase profits at your eBay store? Do what thousands of other eBay sellers have done. Purchase and resell store returns and closeouts. Genco Marketplace is America's largest wholesale liquidator, offering thousands of retail liquidation lots at a fraction of wholesale, including the brand name merchandise your customers want. To learn more about how liquidation lots can boost your profits, visit GencoMarketplace.com/eBay. That's GENCO Marketplace.com/eBay.
So you've been selling your stuff like crazy on eBay, but you still want to grow your bottom line. Try targeted cross-selling. Smart Gallery by PageMage lets you sell more to each buyer by advertising your other products in all of your listings. Cross-sell related products or your most profitable items. It's free and very simple to use. Smart Gallery is the only eBay cross-selling app that lets you pick the exact items to promote. Smart Gallery at PageMage.com.
If shipping were music, right now, yours probably sounds like this. Wouldn't it be nice to go to Shipping Nirvana? Introducing ShipStation, a multi-channel solution no matter where you sell online. ShipStation streamlines your shipping process, taking you from shipping headache to shipping nirvana. Communicate more easily with customers. No more waiting in line at the post office. Eliminate copy and paste label nightmares. And give your scissors and tape dispenser a break. ShipStation lets you create up to 500 labels, even mixing and matching carriers without starting over or visiting several websites. No matter where you sell online or how long it currently takes you to pack and ship, ShipStation can save you time and money. Some customers are saving up to 10 minutes per package. So if you're tired of shipping headaches, join us in shipping nirvana. Visit ShipStation.com today. Your account is free for 30 days.
Small business owners wear many hats. Creator, producer, marketer, salesperson, customer representative, and bookkeeper. Keeping track of all your finances can be a daunting task, but Outright simplifies your small business. Deanna Fink uses Outright and says she doesn't fear the tax man anymore.
And I can do it like on a weekly basis, so I keep track of everything throughout the year and not at the end of the year.
Deanna, does Outright help you stay organized?
At the end of the month, I can see where my profit is, all the different things that takes money out of the money you made. So you can see where your profits are, your losses are, and where you're at.
How easy was it to use Outright?
Simple. It's like QuickBooks is, they have classes, and it was like, I'm not taking a day out of my life to put all this stuff in and learn the program. Outright was so much easier.
Find out how you can simplify your business and keep your finances all in one place. Go to Outright.com. That's Outright.com.